Thank you very much for your prayers this week. I am feeling significantly better. So, thank the Lord for the invention of drugs, but also his healing touch. What are you sure of? What are you sure of? Boy, in this day and age, there is so much uncertainty. The old adage was, you can be sure of two things, death and taxes. And depending on the election this fall, maybe we can do away with taxes, you know, just depending on who we elect. But there is so much uncertainty, isn't there? I mean, we may not even have an election this fall. We don't know that for certain. We don't know that for sure. We're pretty certain that between now and then there's going to continue a circus. We're pretty sure of that. But what are you sure of? And boy, when you go through certain seasons of life and certainties that you had held on to, pillars that you had held on to, are stripped away, it begins to cause you to doubt all kinds of things. One of the most beautiful passages about certainty that we're going to cover this morning. What are you sure of? Do you know it for certain? God is much more interested in your holiness than your happiness. God is much more interested in your holiness than your happiness. Well, wait a second. We have it in our founding documents that we are given life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And we've exalted the pursuit of happiness way beyond what it is to be known and to be loved and to be redeemed. And what is he wanting to do that the God of the universe is working all things together for my good and for his glory? God is concerned about your holiness more than your happiness. Would you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, a message that I have entitled, Holy, Holy. If you notice the spelling there, completely holy. It won't happen until you have breathed your last or Jesus Christ has raptured you off this earth. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be looking towards that future and what God is trying to accomplish even now in our life and what he will certainly finish. To be holy, holy. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. We've entitled this series in Thessalonians, Transformed While Eagerly Waiting. At the end of each chapter, he mentions the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But throughout the book, of the transformation that he's trying to work in our lives while we are waiting for that ultimate transformation. What a blessed promise as we begin here. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May the God of peace, God the Father, the God of peace himself. In the Greek, the verse starts out with himself, emphasizing God the Father himself is taking on this task and responsibility. It's not left up to us. It's not even left up to the Holy Spirit. God the Father himself is taking on this task. He is certainly going to do it. The God of peace himself. When we see ourselves, as the Holy Spirit reveals who we are before God and how far we fall short, there is not peace, is there? And when we see ourselves surrounded by people that are far from God, acting out in their whims and desires, there is not peace. But the God of peace, he is working to bring peace and wholeness to our lives, that in the middle of whatever circumstances that we can trust him, he is bringing it together for our good and for his glory. that the God of peace himself is taken on this. He is working to accomplish this, to sanctify you completely. Sanctify, set apart, that's the word we get saint from. As we saw in 1 Corinthians, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, whether it's minutes ago or decades ago, you're considered a saint. Now, some of you live up to that more than others, but we are considered a saint. We are set apart. At the moment you trust Jesus Christ, you are positionally set apart, sanctified as a saint. As we're going to talk about in a little bit, there's ultimate sanctification when it'll all be done. In between, it's what's called progressive sanctification, where by the power of the Holy Spirit and God the Father and God the Son working all together throughout the circumstances of life, that we would choice by choice by choice be increasingly become more set apart, more sanctified, more holy. He is going to, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This word completely and whole are the same Greek word. When you see a word more than once, it catches your attention, right? He's emphasizing. He emphasized himself. God the Father himself is taking on this task. The God of peace is taking on this task. He's going to sanctify you completely whole. Now, there is another doctrine that's in here that I am not going to take the time because I don't really feel that it's the point of the passage. The whole spirit, soul, and body, and they have argued, theologians have argued throughout the ages, are we three parts or are we two? The emphasis is, whatever we are, if we're three parts, two parts, 11 parts, he's going to sanctify the whole thing. He's going to sanctify it completely, wholly. All of it is going to be set apart and sanctified and redeemed and glorified. Why is this such an emphasis here? Because in Greek wisdom, in Greek culture, they talked about, many thought that the body was just useless. It was just a vessel. And what you did with it really didn't matter. And so that's why you had temples of all sorts of prostitution. That was, the sexual act was a part of their worship experience, and it didn't matter who it was with, because your body really wasn't important. And that's where Paul, through the Apostle Paul, as God is teaching, no, this is all important. It's all important. What we do with our bodies, what we do with our fleshly souls, what we do with our spiritual spirits, it's all important to God. That's why it's so much more important, not just what you come and do Sunday morning for an hour and a half. It's all of life. All of our lives, every minute of our life is to be lived in view that we are to be increasingly being sanctified, set apart for his use and for his glory. All of it. So even when you are cheering for your Buckeyes or your Wolverines, all of it, even when you step, we're having a softball team, hopefully, I encourage strongly, when you step across that line, you don't stop being filled with the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to be controlled with the Spirit, whether you're on the diamond or off the diamond. We're to be sanctified, increasing in sanctification, whatever we are doing with our body, soul, and spirit. God is working to sanctify us completely. That's why we cannot do the Christian life part-time. The Christian life where we just give him elements that we're willing to give to him. He wants it all. He wants it all. And he will redeem and sanctify it all. The blessed hope that the God of peace himself, he will sanctify you completely, your whole spirit, soul, and body, that he will guard it and it'll be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8, for those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. What is your goal? What is your purpose in life? Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you realize that you were designed to be conformed to the image of His Son. That is your purpose for living. As long as you are breathing, God is trying to conform you just a little bit more to the image of His Son. When you wake up in the morning, okay, God, you've given me breath today. I don't know what else you have for me to do, but I know this one thing. I sure know this one thing. You want me to be conformed just a little bit more to the image of Jesus Christ, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. And those He justified or declared righteous, He also glorified. It's done. Before Jesus Christ, positionally, once He called us, once He predestined us and called us, we are just as if we are glorified. We are declared righteous if His good is done. So what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? God the Father, in His great love, is for you. Some of you can actively remember a time apart from Christ when you were pretty certain God was against you. You know what that is like. If not, you have a friend or a relative that you know what life apart from Jesus Christ is like when you begin to set yourself against God of the universe. When God is against you, it's a miserable place to be. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, He says that He is for you, and that He is working, the God of the universe is working to conform you to the image of His Son, and He is moving heaven and earth to bring that about in your life. God is for us. Who can be against us? He will also give you graciously all things. Whatever you need in this process to become conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, He will supply. He doesn't command. He doesn't expect and then not supply. He supplies for what He commands and desires. By the internal indwelling of the Holy Spirit, working in our hearts and our minds, through the power of the Word of God and the presence of Jesus Christ, to bring to mind those things that are out of conformity with Him and that He wants to transform. Transformed by the renewing of our mind as the Holy Spirit brings the Word of God to bear, and we compare ourselves to Christ and see how far we're yet falling short, and by the power of the Spirit, He gives us the power to also then obey. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It won't be until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ that the totality of our glorification. Right now, Terry's soul spirit is in the presence of the Lord. In 2 Corinthians, we are told to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. His body is up at the Toledo Cemetery, up on Sylvania. It is waiting for the coming of Jesus Christ. At that moment, as we saw in 1 Thessalonians 4, at that moment, Terry's body will leave this earth before us if we're living. His body will be taken and rejoined with his soul spirit, and then it will be totally transformed. Your body at that moment will be totally transformed, will be totally glorified at that moment when Jesus Christ comes again. At that moment, you will never, ever sin again. At that moment, all those lusts of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it'll be done forever. You'll be free forever. Thank you. At that moment, but until that moment, we're only getting incremental parts. He is working to sanctify us completely. So at that moment, we will be completely holy, blameless, sanctified, set apart, never to disappoint our Father ever again. And He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Aren't you glad it's not up to you? Aren't you glad it's not even up to the church? It's not up to your spiritual leaders. It rests on God the Father Himself. The God the Father Himself says, I will do it. You can count on me. You have thousands of years of history where I have come through time and time again. I've promised and I've delivered. I've promised I will deliver. He who calls you, He has called you, He is faithful. As we saw in Romans, He's called you, He has justified you, He's declared you righteous, so He will also glorify you. You're not going to get lost in the process. Do you ever have that? Where you send something to the insurance company, and 3 months later, we don't have any paperwork. You've been lost in the process. You ever feel that way? And then this bigger, as society gets bigger and bigger, and we've just become a number, how easy it is to feel lost in the process. You're not going to get lost in the process. God the Father who has called you, He is faithful. He will surely do it. If you want to write down these references for later research as Bereans, Philippians 2, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Beloved, obey. I'm not there to encourage you to obey. Just like parents, when you finally step out of the house and give the children a chance to show themselves responsible, and you hope that their obedience will carry through when you're not there. Paul's saying, I'm not there. I know you obeyed when I was present. I'm praying that you will obey even more in my absence, that you'll work it out, your salvation. You've been transformed from the inside. You've been declared righteous. You've been set apart. You've been declared a saint. Now, in participation with the Spirit, work that out. Flesh it out more and more. It's God, though. Don't take credit for yourself. It's God that's working in you. He's helping you choose, but He's also empowering you to do for His good pleasure. Whatever He has set you apart for, He is empowering you to choose and to do it. He doesn't leave us to ourselves. He doesn't leave us to a religious system and a list of rules and busybodies trying to check on each other of whether you have become that to that righteous standard or not. No, it's the Holy Spirit working within through the truth of God's Word. Another blessed promise where Paul repeats this. This was written 10 years after the book of Thessalonians. Paul writing in 1 Thessalonians 1, I am sure of this. I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Amen? He is sure of this. He is certain of this. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you, He began a good work in you, He will bring it to completion. There's no guarantee like that on this earth. It's only in faith in Jesus Christ, that God the Father will carry it through. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end. He will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. He's trustworthy. You can count on Him. He does not change. By whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He will bring it about. In John 17, Jesus Christ praying in the garden, just moments before He's betrayed and imprisoned. In John 17, but now I am coming to you, Father. These things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them, guard them from the evil one. So we can see in 1 Thessalonians that we will be kept blameless. I do not ask you that you take them out, but that you keep them, guard them from the evil one. For they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. Jesus, praying to the Father, had already promised to his disciples that he would be sending the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit would guide them into truth. And as he's praying to the Father, what is the tool that he is going to use in this setting apart process? It's the truth of the Word. Sometimes we go long on why this Word is so important, why we don't play around with the Word. This, the Holy Spirit, uses as the Son prayed to the Father, sanctify them. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Set them apart by the truth of your word. Oh, as we're going through our Sunday school class, Fresh Encounter, to be in the Word, seeing ourselves for who we are, seeing the holiness of God for who He is, and how far we fall short, but the blessed truth and promise that the Holy Spirit wants to take the Word of God and transform us into the image of the Son of God. Little by little, from glory to glory, as 2 Corinthians 3 says. Sanctify them in truth. That's the prayer of the Son to the Father. Be in the Word. Be sanctified, set apart by it. In Philippians 3, but our citizenship is in heaven. And in heaven, they don't care if you're a Republican, a Democrat, independent, or some other nationality. Our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We await, we long for. And He will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. Here, not only God the Father is working towards this, God the Son is working towards this. We await our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who at that moment will transform our lowly fleshly bodies to be like His glorious body, and then subject all things to Himself. Are you longing for that day? Are you waiting for that day when you will never even have a distracting thought, much less a desire, an action that falls short of the image of Christ? To be totally, completely, holy, and transformed. John shares, see that what kind of love the Father has given to us. What kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know, we're certain, we're sure that when He appears, we shall be like Him. Because we shall see Him as He is. We know at that moment He is faithful. He will surely do it. We will be transformed. Our lowly bodies will be transformed into like His glorious body. We don't know what that's like, but we can trust Him that it'll be just like Him. We shall see Him as He is. Some of you look in the mirror in the morning and you think, oh my, I'm not what I used to be. But praise God, there's coming a day we will look and we will see Jesus and we will be like Him. Forever, forever glorified, set apart as holy. Never, ever to fail. never ever to experience the pain and the loss of this world and this life. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him because we shall see Him as He is. Therefore, and everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. When you keep in mind what your ultimate future is, in partnership with the Holy Spirit, through the sanctifying truth of the Word, in relationship with God the Son, you set out to be more holy today than you were yesterday. Just a little bit more pure tomorrow than you were today. Setting out by the power of the Holy Spirit, through the truth of His Word, to be set apart for His use, sanctified for His use. Even more dedicated to His use than you were yesterday. Everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you, set you apart completely. May your whole being, your spirit, your soul, and your body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us. Here He doesn't say what the prayer is, what prayer request He's asking, but even just out of this prayer for them, pray that for others. Pray that even for those in the body of Christ. Pray that for your leaders. Wednesday night, God prompted an individual to pray for the elders individually and collectively, just moved to tears. We pray for you. I hope you're also praying for us. Praying this, that God would set us apart, that we would increase our confidence in a faithful God, God who fulfills promises, that He is coming through. Encourage to stay true to the sanctifying truth of the Word. When we watched War Room, we gave out some prayer guides. And if you did not get one of those, if you want to see Becky, her email address is on the back and she could email that to you. Scripture prayer guides where you just pray Scripture. Pray Scripture for the elders, where you pray Scripture for the deacons, where you pray Scripture for parents, where you can pray Scripture for children, where you can pray Scripture for our government. Pray. Pray, recognizing our dependence upon God, that in this process of being sanctified, of taking one more step towards being purified, of being set apart, we desperately need the working of God. We cannot do it on ourselves. Oh, we can try a religious system that might look outwardly that we've taken some steps, but genuine life change is completely and wholly dependent upon a working of God. We need to be praying. We need to be recognizing that dependence individually, but also to be praying for each other. God, would you please work in this brother's life? Help him with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, whatever it might be, that, Lord, you'd help him claim victory by the power of your Spirit today. Brothers, pray for us. Then he goes on, greet all brothers with a holy kiss. This is one of Ken Kutz's favorite verses in all the Bible. If any of you choose to try to give Ken Kutz a holy kiss today, I'm not sure what will happen. This is culturally in the body of Christ when they came together that there wasn't classifications. That there was a welcoming. Receive one another. There's a whole list of one another's commands that Paul gives out in the New Testament and Peter as well. Of our relationship with one another. In this progress of sanctification, yes, God the Father is doing it. He's comparing us to God the Son, and He's giving us the Holy Spirit within us, but He's also designed this organism, the body of Christ. And as we've seen earlier in the chapter, we get the chance to admonish one another. We get the chance to encourage one another. We get the chance to support one another. We get the chance to be patient with one another. Greet them all. Welcome one another. Receive one another. This world is a very, very lonely place. They talk about in this day and age of being in so much contact with so many different people, yet the depth of loneliness is even greater. You may have 1,500 Facebook friends, but be desperately lonely. One of the loneliest places at times on the face of the earth is this auditorium at 9:25 on a Sunday morning. Visitors never come late. Sitting here wondering, is anybody going to show up? One of the other loneliest places on the face of this earth is downstairs during fellowship time. You have some great, deep friendships. But keep your eyes open. Greet them all. Please, if you go to a visitor today, greet them, but not with a holy kiss, okay? But greet them warmly. Welcome them. They have needs. They're on this road, and they're discouraged, wondering, is God going to come through? Is God faithful? Because I'm not sure. The circumstances of this life are feeling like they're going to crush me. I'm not so sure. My faith is on a thread. Greet one another. Welcome one another. They say a 20-second hug. Again, if it's appropriate to the appropriate person, you have their permission. But a 20-second hug releases chemicals within the body that bring a calmness, a peace. Greet one another warmly. If God gives you that kind of relationship, that a sincere hug, it communicates more than a sermon. I put you under oath before the Lord. Have this letter read to all the brothers, like we did last week with the book of Philippians, where Jason read the whole letter. I'd encourage you, sit down, read it as a whole. It was a letter. So we see at the end of Colossians, Paul says there to Colossians, read this letter, and then once you've finished reading it together, send it on to Laodicea, and you read their letter. And they would share these letters and read them as a whole, as an instruction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the precious promises of your word. We thank you so much that through Jesus Christ you have set us apart. You have declared us righteous. And by the power of your indwelling Holy Spirit, you are doing that step by step by step. Lord, help us. Help us to submit to your working in our lives. That, Lord, we would not resist and grieve and quench the Spirit. But, Lord, in partnership, we would allow our wills to be conformed to yours. That it would move our actions, our attitudes. And, Lord, as a body, that we would be transformed by the truth of your word and seeking to share that with others in warm, deepening relationships, caring for one another. And Lord, please create within our body a greater dependence upon you in prayer. How desperately we need you individually, how desperately we need the encouragement of others shouldering the burdens together. And Lord, help us to wait that our citizenship is with you, and we are longing for the day when you come and call us home, that we will be completely holy, holy. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.